Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
I'm still we getting money for sure, cause we're addicted to sports. Louis V on my shorts, been a Tennessee Vol since I hopped off the porch. Hey, Reggie White and Allen Houston, Florida, Georgia, keep it moving, this is Rocky Top. You ain't wearing orange, what you doing? We talking UT sports in the booth. Chris Lauken with the shot, yeah, we ready to shoot. Hey, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking,
we talking sports, eh?
We talking, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking,
we talking sports, eh?
Hour three kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. If you're missing the first 2 hours, check out the podcast. iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, FoxSportsKnoxville.com, powered by.
Oh, sorry, you're doing a live read, aren't you?
It's fine.
The poll's out.
Our friends at 245tech.com know that we love them. If you are a business owner and you have a website,
we got the poll. We got the poll. Tennessee is the new number one team in America.
I told you guys. I told you, I knew it all along. I mean, not 2015 when Rick Barnes was hired. I didn't know it then. I didn't think this day would come. I didn't know it was going to happen back then in 2015. I really thought that Tennessee should have hired Will Wade. Now, granted, Will Wade's also undefeated. LSU's got to be somewhere in that top 25. But didn't see this coming when Tennessee hired Rick Barnes. But it has been a great four-year stretch.
It's weird. I kind of just went speechless for like 30 seconds there.
As we were trying to look on our computer.
That just hit me. It was, well, I saw Luis Fernandez from WBIR. He was the first to tweet it out on my timeline. And I didn't mean to interrupt your live read. I was just, it hit me with joy in a moment's notice. And I brought out the siren. We're number one in the country.
You act surprised. Did you not know?
No, I mean, I had a feeling it was coming, but it's just to see it, you know? It's like, wow, here we are. Great way to kick off headlines.
Ten years, 11 months. Tennessee's back at number one, heading to Memorial Gym on Wednesday. Time, flat, circle, all that stuff.
Shall we do headlines?
I'm waiting on you.
Patrick Mahomes could be the first player to land a $200 million deal. Sources expect Mahomes to sign the record deal when it becomes eligible in 2020. $200 million, the expected amount for Mahomes when the Chiefs have to pay him. The Chiefs are expected to extend his contract after next season, the first time that the MVP candidate is eligible for an extension. And league sources told ESPN he could land the NFL's first $200 million contract.
I also have a headline. Tennessee is ranked number one in the country in basketball. In case you missed it. Number one. It's been a really good two-year stretch for Tennessee. At this time 2 years ago, Tennessee was 9-9, 2-4 in the SEC.
9-9, 2-4 in the SEC.
2 years ago. It's been a really good two-year run.
We must savor this while we can.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me more headlines. I just wanted to reiterate that the Vols, as a basketball school, which I told you that we were 2 weeks ago.
Oh, trust me. I know none of these headlines matter at all now.
Basketball school.
We got the news we've been waiting for all morning.
I haven't seen the football team be ranked number one in how long?
Since probably 1998.
And you've had Tennessee basketball do it how many times since then? Twice?
Were we ever ranked number one in 01?
I don't believe so.
05, we came into that season in some polls number two.
Yeah.
That didn't turn out well.
It did not.
Todd Gurley says he's not injured. Instead, he says he just had a sorry performance yesterday.
Really?
In the Superdome. The Rams, of course, came from behind to win, but Todd Gurley, as you may have noticed, was hardly, he was basically non-existent in the second half of the game. The Rams' star running back stood on the sideline with his helmet on throughout most of the game and hardly appeared in action as backup C.J. Anderson rushed for 44 yards on 16 carries. After the game, Gurley said, quote, "I was sorry as hell today. I was sorry. So C.J. did his thing, and the whole team did its thing."
You know who hasn't been sorry this year?
I was sorry as hell today.
You know who hasn't been sorry this year?
Who's
the,
that?
The Tennessee basketball team, who is ranked number one in the country.
That's absolutely true.
Number one in all of the land. Number one.
I'm kind of jealous I got to do headlines while you get to sift through all those awesome tweets. I bet the tweets are rolling in, aren't they?
I got them. Just keep going.
Tweets are rolling in.
Just keep rolling through headlines.
All right, another Rams headline. The Rams are going to wear blue and yellow throwback uniforms for the Super Bowl.
Good for them.
You know who else wore throwback uniforms last week?
That's true. Yeah. The Vols wore throwback uniforms on their way to being number one. I'll be honest, I'm rooting for the Patriots.
Well,
I'm rooting for the Patriots.
Didn't expect that to happen. Why are you rooting for the Patriots?
I don't like the Rams.
I'm rooting for the Rams. I don't like the Patriots.
I'm rooting for the Rams to lose.
How could you root for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl?
I want them to come up a yard short.
Interesting how we are.
Honestly, I don't even care.
We're flipping roles.
I'm not rooting for anybody. I just want the NFL season to be over.
It will be over. 2 weeks from today. We'll be talking about the outcome of the Super Bowl. And also our 23-1 top-ranked Volunteers.
That's what I'm
on the hardwood.
On. Just get me to Wednesday night against Vandy. Just get me to Wednesday night. Let's keep this rolling. I want to see number one next to Tennessee's name, and I want to get a win as number one in the country.
Have you looked at that schedule, man?
We might be number one all the way through February.
We might hold this for a while.
I
don't want to jinx anything. I mean, West Virginia did upset Kansas Saturday.
Yeah, not worried about that.
Kansas doesn't have Azubuike, and it was on the road, but
yeah. I'm not worried about that.
That's going to be a hot ticket, though. Should be a good game Saturday. Number one in the country. My goodness. Yeah, so the Rams going to wear some throwback uniforms in the Super Bowl. It's going to be like 1999 all over again for the Rams. Another interesting note about the Super Bowl. Did you know this is the first time ever that the two cities that are matched up in the Super Bowl are the same two cities that were matched up in the World Series? You might recall the Red Sox played the Dodgers in the World Series this year.
Okay.
Now we're going to get the Patriots, who are from
Foxborough,
Boston area.
45 minutes away from Boston.
New England, Boston.
I mean, you can't. They're not from Boston. Sorry. I'm disallowing this.
I think we all agree the Patriots are Boston's NFL team. So the Red Sox, Patriots, and then Dodgers, Rams, you know, representing L.A. So two of the greater sports cities in America right now. Probably the two most historic sports cities, right? If you're just looking overall, historically.
Number one in the country. I don't care about the Super Bowl. Shut up about the Super Bowl. Shut up about Tom Brady. Shut up.
I have to do headlines.
I know, but just Tennessee's number one in the country.
I know. Dan Snyder is purchasing a yacht worth $100 million.
Okay, just go to
it
headlines.
Has an IMAX theater in
Enough
it.
Of the headlines. Let's talk about Tennessee basketball more. Let's celebrate being number one in the country. We'll open the phone lines up, 865-546-8200. Back on the program. We have hit number one more time. Such a bad take in 2015. My worst ever? Was it my worst ever? Got to be up there, right? Not liking the Rick Barnes hire? Now, I mean, like, I did, you know, in large part it was because everyone just kind of assumed that Tennessee was going to all of a sudden start landing five stars. And I said I wouldn't just kind of pencil that in. A lot of Barnes' recruiting success was because he was right next to Houston and had that Canadian pipeline. But I mean, Tennessee's done it without recruiting, which makes this even more impressive. Still an awful take. For now.
What was the take?
I mean, I just thought that Barnes coming here was a really bad hire for Tennessee.
You did?
Yeah, no, I did. I was not happy at all. I only took any comfort in it being not Ben Hallen. Ben Hallen was the very bottom of my list. Rick Barnes was right in front of him.
Did you think it was because he was coming here to retire?
I just thought
were you
that
one of those guys?
I just thought that his career had started on a downward trajectory. I just thought he was old. I thought that it was going to be a 5-year, you know, situation where even if he does have some type of success, you're going to be looking for a new coach in, you know, year 6 or year 7. And if it doesn't go well, you're kind of going to be back not at square one, but, you know, without any type of stability. I wanted a young coach. I wanted Will Wade. Like, I really, really wanted Will Wade. Because I thought, you know, he's got the Tennessee ties, he wants the job, and that could be a 15-20-year solution. I looked at Barnes's lack of success in the postseason as, you know, the reason he got fired at Texas, and I said, why should I think that's going to change at Tennessee? Now, granted, it hasn't changed at Tennessee yet.
We still don't know the answer to that, but we are ranked number one in the country today.
We are ranked number one in the country, and I have really made the case that you should enjoy the regular season. Like, if Tennessee goes out in the Sweet 16, it'll be disappointing, but I don't think that diminishes the accomplishment of being ranked number one in the country and, you know, getting back to being a premier basketball program. Tennessee has a basketball cathedral. Tennessee has one of the nicest basketball arenas in the SEC and in the entire country.
And the product is so good right now that they're essentially selling it out on a Tuesday night.
Now, this could have been a perfect storm of just finding the exact right personalities and one of those guys already being on campus, right? Like Admiral already being committed to Tennessee. Maybe him and Grant are just two special players, and Rick got Grant, Admiral was already here, and you found the core of your program. Maybe this just was a perfect storm, but now, you know, to bridge the gap, hopefully you have kind of figured out the recruiting part of it. And like I said, the postseason success thing hasn't really changed. I remember one of the things I tweeted out was 2009. Since 2009, Barnes and Konzo, who everyone was happy was gone, had the same amount of tournament wins.
Well, at least our first trip to the tournament, we didn't get bounced in the first round. You know, first trip under Barnes.
That's right. You got the one win.
Pearl did get bounced in the first round a couple times.
Not in his first year, or not in his first trip there. But yeah,
no,
sure.
He beat Winthrop year one, right?
I believe we only got bounced in the first round by Oklahoma State and then by
Michigan.
By Michigan to end the tenure when everything was crumbling around.
Right. So two times.
So I will say that I overreacted.
I mean, the first time they beat Winthrop, then lost to Wichita State.
Yeah, and they beat Winthrop on like a buzzer beater, basically.
Lofton, big shot.
You were struggling as a 2 seed against a 15. I mean, Tennessee is back among the, I don't know if you can say among the elite yet, but Tennessee is one of the top 10, top 12 basketball programs. Is that fair to say? Moving forward?
One of the top 10 to 12 basketball programs?
Yeah.
Programs? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean you need some postseason success. I get that, but when you just take into Tennessee's going to be top 3, top 4 in attendance this year. Tennessee's going to be one of the 1 or 2 seeds, I think a 1 seed, but at least one of the top 8 seeds in the country.
Well, you look at some factors right now, attendance, recruiting as well.
You have a blue chipper coming in with potentially another one in 2020 that Tennessee's in on from the mid-state. maybe that picks up and you can kind of have the best of both worlds in terms of, yeah, we'll mix in a stud every now and then with a core that we keep moving on with upperclassmen.
What are the things that make a program a top 10 program?
I think eventually you have to make – I think Tennessee needs to make a Final Four to become – you know, to get back in the top 5 or 6 conversation. But I think top 10, top 12 right now, number one in the country, a well-respected coach who has 30 years of success. Sure, he's underachieved a little bit, only the one Final Four, but a lot of – respect for Rick Barnes in the coaching industry and in the college basketball world.
Yeah, and there's a lot of coaches who have coached for 30 years and don't have a Final Four. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know how many there are that have coached at, like, big programs. I mean, like, I'm sure Rick Bird's up on his 30th year, probably getting close at least, and he hasn't made a Final Four, but he's been, you know, he hasn't had the big job.
There's not that many of them out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, in
Coach
terms
K,
of, like,
Boeheim, they all have Final Fours.
Yeah, like, in terms of the long-term tenured coaches, Barnes has had the longevity and hasn't had the big success yet. He made the one Final Four with T.J. Ford, and, you know, him being able to do this so many years later at a new school that was left for dead would help really boost his Hall of Fame resume. As Artie tweets in, 48 of 64 first-place votes went to Tennessee. Right?
48 of 64 first-place votes.
Yeah, Duke only got 11. So everyone was worried about Duke being able to stay there. The voters didn't see that as anything close. Now you want to see if Tennessee can keep this rolling and if Tennessee can pay this dream season off. If Tennessee can pay this dream season off with a trip to the program's first ever Final Four. That would obviously be ideal, right?
Yeah, I'm just excited about the games moving forward. Because I don't see any reason as to why we shouldn't hold on to this number one ranking for quite a while.
Shout out to Tennessee. Feels good. All the people who said it didn't matter, I think you're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I get the mindset of saying, hey, prove something in March. This matters to this program. And Admiral and Grant can have the quote saying they didn't come here to be number one in January. They came here to put Tennessee basketball back on the map. They can say that, sure. They can say they came here to win championships and hang banners. That's fine. I hope they are taking some real joy in being ranked number one in the country. This group of misfits that were put together.
It's just crazy to think that we are where we are at number one. I mean, think about even this time a year ago. This time a year ago, we were just starting to figure out that we had a pretty good basketball team. I'm talking 1 year ago. Now, by this point in the season, we had beaten Purdue. So we knew we were pretty good. But we had no idea this level, how good we're going to be. Final Four contender. They made a lot of strides.
Now you get to go back and, like I said, 11 years later, try to right the wrong that fell upon Lofton and Juwan as they went into Memorial Gym and got beat by Sean Foster.
We're going to go in there and beat their ass. I'm so ready for it.
It'd be nice to have a baptism, right? Just to go in there and right the wrongs and blow them out and just party and celebrate. And Vanderbilt announced a sellout, and I think a lot of orange is going to be in there, right? There's going to be a lot of orange inside Memorial Gymnasium.
I would imagine so.
865-546-8200 if you want to hop on with us. We'll be at Hops and Hollers on Wednesday night. watching the number one team in the country play. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Sports Junkie. Sports Junkie.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Sports Junkie?
Man, it's good to be number one. Do y'all think this gives us a boost in recruiting for some of the top, you know, highly recruited players, you know, coming up next year?
That's a good question. And I don't know if they really care about Tennessee being ranked number one. I would say the top prospects are still wanting to see who you can get to the NBA. Now, maybe with Josiah James, if he comes into Tennessee and has success and goes one and done, I would say that would have more of a an effect with these top-ranked guys. Cody, you disagree with that? Or
I would tend to agree with that.
What are your thoughts on it, Sports Junkie?
I mean, it definitely couldn't hurt.
Sure,
you know
sure.
what I'm saying? I mean, you know, over the past couple of years, you know, before this team, you know, has developed into what it has and, you know, got the starting to finally get the recognition and the spotlight it, you know, it deserves. You know, I think that it definitely don't hurt your chances. I mean, in my opinion, if I was a recruit, I would be giving them a second look. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know that they're not a team that necessarily, you know, has a whole lot of one and dones or, you know, puts a whole lot of, you know, NBA talent into the league, but it's also because, you know, they've not really had the opportunity to do so. You know, they've not ever had a whole lot of top 100 players, so it's not like it couldn't happen.
I think if you're a smart kid who wants to get a four-year degree and you think maybe someday you could play in the NBA, but you're not one of those top 10 prospects, you know, like you're like a number 17 prospect or something like that. So your plan is to go to college, get your degree, but maybe have a shot at the NBA. I can't imagine a coach you'd rather play for than Rick Barnes. Now, I don't know if the top end guys would have that same mindset because they have the immediate feeling they can go to the NBA.
Honestly, I feel like, you know, top 17 still high. I think you'd have to get down to like top 40.
I'm thinking about like those fringe guys that are maybe prospects, but they're thinking college degree too. Mm-hmm. You know,
right? Yeah. I guess it just depends on, you know, how good their recruiting staff is as well. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you gotta really sell it. You know what I mean? You gotta be like, well, you know, I understand, you know, Duke and Kentucky is the, you know, programs that are known for the one and dones, but it's not like, you know, Rick Barnes would just need to make it clear. It's not like he's opposed to, you know, a kid coming in there that's good enough. You know, if he's good enough to, you know, stay one year and leave to the NBA. I think a lot of teams have the reputation like they don't want to recruit one and dones. You know, they'd rather have the guys that stay 2, 3, 4 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's great too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, of course, I mean, you'd like to have guys stick around, but, you know, if you can grab a guy or two that, you know, is elite talent that can, well, you know, accompanied with some other guys that, you know, do want to stay longer that can catapult you to a national championship, I mean, I think it's, you know, the way to go.
Appreciate the phone call.
All right, man.
I still think that Tennessee having some type of one-and-done success, now, like I said, maybe that is – maybe that is Josiah James coming in next year and showing that he can, A, be highlighted in an offense with veterans and then be able to go pro. I think that would help get the high-level All-American five stars. Now, obviously, going into any recruit's house over the next week or so or making any type of phone calls over the next week or so and just saying, hey, it's Tennessee. We'd love to have you come on campus. We'd love to come check out what we're building here or what we've already built. Yeah, like that helps when you're on ESPN playing every night. And when you're, I want to say, leading SportsCenter on your highlights, although that's not really the case. Duke's still getting far more TV time than Tennessee. We'll see how it moves forward from here on out. But Tennessee is at the top of the college basketball world. At the top of the college basketball world. I still think to get those big-time All-Americans, you got to show that, hey, we can get you in and out of this in 1 year and get you paid. Because that's what those top guys want. I would say that very few of the top-ranked recruits are thinking, hey, how is Rick Barnes going to develop me in year three like he did with these guys? How is he going to turn me from a chubby prospect like Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams were, and DJ Burns to an extent, and then turn me into a really good all-SEC caliber type of player. Obviously not with DJ Burns yet, but.
That may not be what those guys are thinking, the guys who think that they can go to the NBA and play right now. But once you get down to those fringe guys, I think they would have those thoughts.
I do wonder before, like, I do wonder how many of these big time prospects have thought about, hey, Kevin Durant. Well, that was Rick Barnes coaching him. I would wonder how many even know that was the case. I mean, because you have to think that was what, 2006.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're Barnes, you should probably be selling that.
I think if you're Barnes now, you have the ability to not have to sell your soul to recruit those guys. I think if you're Rick Barnes, you look around and you say, "Hey, we can build it however way we need to. If that's with 3 or 4 year guys, then we'll do it with 3 or 4 year guys. We have a culture implemented here, and it's successful. I don't have to go out and try to sway these big time prospects. Now, obviously, life would be easier if you sprinkled a couple of them in here every now and then, but so far, his way at Tennessee has worked, and I feel shame. I feel shame for being so against it in 2015, and the shame I feel is only exceeded by the joy that's brought to me every time Tennessee wins.
And the Patriots are in the Super Bowl.
Ah, oh, shut the hell up. You're still the one I want for life. Anytime you can break out Shania, it's worth it. Still the one. We were one 30 minutes ago. You know what? We're still the one. Still the one. Still number one. I was going to do winners and losers of the weekend, but I don't know if there's a need to anymore. I think the Vols won the weekend. Tom Brady's number two. I don't even know who number three would be. Who's number three? McVay?
I'd say McVay.
McVay's number three. My losers of the weekend. Eric Berry's got to be on there. I think that was.
Come on.
I mean, I'm sorry. I think that was Eric Berry's last game in Kansas City.
You really think they're going to get rid of Eric Berry?
He's going to have to take a pay cut. If not, $76 million to get torched on at the end of the game by Gronk.
He did get worked.
And they were picking on him.
I know. And I felt bad about our conversation last week.
I hope you did. I hope you felt shame.
As soon as I saw Barry being picked on, because I mentioned that last week. I said, do you think Tom Brady's going to pick on him? And that's exactly what he did.
I don't know if it was picking on him as much as it was like, hey, we got to go to Gronk here because he's our best player. Like, Gronk can't be the best player all the time anymore, but he can still go out and get a big catch if we need to. So they went to him on a couple big third downs. I don't think it was just like they were picking on Barry. It was just more like, hey, nobody can stop this polar bear whenever he needs to get a big catch.
VFL Cordarrelle Patterson didn't have a great game.
No.
He dropped a couple of passes.
And, I mean, watching him drop those passes just reminded me of just, you know, like how poor those skill players are. Like, they're having to try to throw slants to Cordarrelle Patterson at the end of the game because they don't have a fourth receiver. They have Hogan and Edelman and Gronk. And they have to try to throw it to Cordarrelle, and he kept dropping passes.
That's part of what makes me respect Brady even more.
I mean, the Patriots obviously just had a huge advantage on the sidelines when they came out to start the game. Like, they just drove down the field in 8.5 minutes and drained the clock and really just sucked the air out of the stadium. I do think whenever I'd heard that the Chiefs had elected to kick off first, I was like, man, that's dangerous. I think the best case scenario for the Chiefs would have been to have gotten the ball and scored and then really ramped that place up. Instead, they allowed the Patriots to take the ball, go down, score, take the crowd out of the game. But Eric Berry would have to be one of my biggest losers of the weekend. I don't know who else would be on that list, though.
Saints fans.
Yeah. The NFL officiating crew, who's apparently now going to allow they're going to discuss allowing pass interference calls to be reviewed.
I think you got to throw Drew Brees in on the losers list as well. Michigan basketball. You could have been number one in the country, and you can't even win at Wisconsin.
That's true. How does it feel, Michigan basketball? How does it feel, Michigan basketball?
Duke. I mean, Duke beat Virginia, but lost to Syracuse.
It was a pretty good weekend. It did break pretty perfectly for what Tennessee needed to happen.
Yeah, it did.
I would have felt a lot more comfortable if Tennessee would have blown Alabama out, but I was still like 99% sure that Tennessee was getting that edge at number one. And it goes back to what I said a month and a half ago. If you are a basketball writer, if you keep up with basketball, you got to love this Tennessee team and the way they handle business and the way they play and the way they develop, and they don't really have any questions about cheating. Which, by the way, can we get back to that? What happened to the FBI scandal?
I don't think that's a thing anymore.
Can someone tell me what the hell is going on with the college basketball FBI scandal?
I think they've just forgiven everyone and moved on.
Is that what's happened? We just give everybody amnesty and say, hey, don't cheat anymore?
It's pretty quiet. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to take away Coach K, Bill Self, your blue blood basketball program?
There's a new blue blood in town now, baby. Bernard King, ever heard of him?
I have.
Allen Houston.
Chris Lofton.
Yeah. Admiral and Grant.
J.P. Prince.
Ever heard of him? Salute. Salute to you, Cody, for bringing up J.P. Prince.
Dane Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Scotty Hobson.
Don't forget my man Ron Slay.
Ramar Smith.
He maybe killed a guy.
Do what you got to do.
We've gone through some real ups and downs. We maybe had a point guard kill somebody. Maybe. Allegedly. Rumored. I don't know. If you're listening, Ramar, I'm not the one saying it. Oh, God, change the subject.
Yeah, you brought it up. You brought it up.
I know. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Now, if I end up dead and missing, it might be my blood pressure, it might be my aneurysms, or it may be Ramar Smith.
We will sing songs of joy to remember you.
What?
To remember you.
Sing songs of joy.
What
I better hear some "Go Rest High on That Mountain." I better hear "Go Rest High on the Mountain." Not some "Celebrate Good Times." Come on, I don't need to hear that.
What I meant is, we will sing joyful songs in your remembrance.
I don't know if that's making it any better. We're a long ways removed from Derek Reese. No offense to Derek Reese. No offense to Derek Reese. Like, you helped pave this road to number one. His time with Rick Barnes overlapped for at least 1 year, right? Rick Barnes looked at Derek Reese and said, I got to get better players than that.
This is for all those great players who laid the foundation.
Kevin Punter and Armani Moore, yeah. You deserve this.
Shimbari Phillips.
That's right.
Dietrich Mostella.
Those are the guys.
Ran off. Like,
did Tyler Smith, but we named him.
Who was that point guard that transferred to Georgia Tech?
Darius Thompson. That's been a long time ago when Darius Thompson left. He was still left. Did he leave when Konzo left, or did he leave before Konzo even left? When Konzo left, he dipped.
This one's for Darius Thompson.
Take that, Darius Thompson.
Jerron Maimon.
Yeah.
Trey Golden.
That's who I was thinking
Jordan
of.
McRae.
Trey Golden.
Yeah. Darius Thompson went to Virginia, right?
I was thinking of Trey Golden.
Trey Golden, Georgia Tech. Sex with the lady over on campus. Was it Jenny Wright who he had sex with? Was that her name?
Who?
His tutor.
Yeah.
Slash, like, the person who was in charge of Tennessee, like, keeping
academics.
Their academics in line. She was keeping them in line, all right.
This one's for you, Trey
Allegedly.
Golden.
Allegedly. I don't know if that was, like, proven or what, so don't sue me.
Source is close to the situation.
Wayne Chisholm. Ron Artest. This one is for you guys.
Ron Artest probably does love this Tennessee team. I would say.
How could you not? unless you're just on Twitter and you're annoyed by us, I could see where the other fan bases would hate this team.
I mean, there's a chance, there's still a chance that the FBI, NCAA all of a sudden just comes back in and wipes out all the competition. Maybe Tennessee is the only king left standing at the end of the day. Everyone's getting pulled. Zion Williamson, yeah, we know you're cheating, Coach K. It's over. And maybe Tennessee just steamrolls to the championship. Twitter writes in, this is for Skylar McBee. Him and Jordan Howell deserve this moment.
That's your boy.
Him and Jordan Howell deserve this moment.
Tyler Summitt. Stephen Pearl.
Tyler Summitt. I don't know if we're doing this for him. You're Big damn Gulp. Right, Parker. Big Gulp deserves this.
Justin Phelps, this is for you. All the great Tennessee basketball players who've laid this foundation.
Shout out to Justin Phelps.
You know, the AP poll still hasn't updated their poll.
Brian Williams.
On the website. Brian Williams. I've never seen a guy handle a basketball worse. You pass it to Brian Williams in the paint, that thing is getting lost.
You better hope he doesn't have to put the ball on the ground.
Yeah, if he's got to dribble it, it's getting stolen.
You're looking for a turn and layup.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're in trouble with Brian Williams. Isn't there some relation between him and Grant Williams, or is that just an old wives' tale?
I've never heard the wives' tale. If it is, like, I feel like that might just be something you have in your head.
Why has it?
They might be related. I mean, I don't know, but I've never heard that before. Matt Kyle writes in, Ryan Childress. Once partied with Ryan Childress when I got into an abandoned bar with a fake ID when I was 17. Thought it was so cool. It was me, my friend, Ryan Childress, and some Lady Vol girls. That was it. And Dane Bradshaw.
Tatum.
There were like four of us in there. Well, plus the girls. And that was it. There was like 10 people total in the bar. Well, back when the Cube used to be on the Strip. Came up, partied with Childress and Bradshaw.
Those are good numbers.
Yeah, we weren't. Well, I mean, I wasn't really. I was like 17, and I don't know if I looked much older. And B, these were all, you know, athletes, and here I was just sat there dancing, you know, trying to get my groove on.
I don't know that Brian Williams and Grant Williams have a relation. He's from the Bronx, New York.
Yeah.
I just made that up, Ben.
They have relation now.
Although he was SEC Sixth Man of the Year.
They have some relation now. Brian Williams on that number one team, right? He was on that number one team. No, he wasn't.
I don't know.
He was on the Elite Eight team.
Yeah.
Cameron Tatum. Remember Cam Tatum?
Come on. Do I remember Cam
Tatum?
This
one's for Cam Tatum.
Yeah, I remember Cam Tatum.
Swiper boy.
Nah, I mean, you lost me on that one.
Ronaldo Woolridge.
This is definitely for Swiper boy.
Swiper boy is getting ready to try to drop a new song. Just wait.
He tried to drop a song whenever we were preseason number 9 with Butch, like in 2016.
Brian Williams was on the number one team. He was on the roster. Played 11 minutes per game.
Why hasn't the AP updated their poll
yet?
So
now him and Grant Williams are related. They're both number one players at Tennessee, or on teams, I guess, who are number one. That's right.
The AP still hasn't updated their poll.
It's for Duke Cruz. Yeah. My boy Duke Cruz. Tennessee's number one. Last call on the other side. Sponsored by our friends at Volunteer Vodka. Stop by, pick you up a bottle at your local package store. If they don't have it, tell them to make an order. Tell them you want it. Tell them you need Volunteer Vodka. $20 a bottle for a double gold winning. That means it was the best in show at the Denver International Taste Competition. Volunteer Vodka. We love them for their support. I need to send my guy a text and say, hey, man, sorry about Virginia having to die for Tennessee to live at number one. He's a big Virginia basketball fan. Pump the brakes or keep rolling. Cody Mack, you want to go first or second?
Second today.
Well, you know, I was doing the live read, so I was hoping that maybe you could go first.
Police raid home for meth and find something else. I wanna know. A dead bald eagle in a freezer.
Oh, no.
Police in Anderson, no. Missouri searched two homes on Tuesday. They seized 58 grams of methamphetamine, a gun, a stolen ATV, and a stolen horse trailer, and something else, a dead bald eagle. The bizarre discovery came after a drug enforcement team served two search warrants simultaneously to two houses in Missouri. They said the dead bald eagle was found in a freezer in one of the homes and turned over to an agent. It is a federal crime to kill a bald eagle or golden eagle.
So do they know for sure that he killed the bald eagle?
It is still unknown.
I didn't kill the eagle. I found the eagle. And it's a bald eagle. I put it in my freezer. You can't prove I killed it. Right?
It is also illegal to possess one, living or dead, the sheriff believes, according to Huffington Post. He said it is still unknown how the dead eagle came to roost in the freezer, as the suspect of the home was not there during the search. A bald eagle. Interesting. I wonder how many bald eagles there are flying around. Not many, right?
I mean, are they endangered or no?
No, I know they're not here, but I mean,
I know they're protected, obviously, but are they endangered as well? Or
they were at one point.
Okay, we're not a zoology school, show. This is from a movie that you love. Something kind of famous is for sale.
I love it.
Yeah, I think so. They're what of least concern?
The population is currently increasing.
Okay.
That's what it says.
Okay. Shout out to bald eagles. Congrats on the sex, guys. And girls. The Las Vegas home of legendary Chicago mob enforcer Tony the Ant Spilotro is for sale. Spilotro, who was portrayed by Joe Pesci in the 1995 film Casino.
Oh.
His house is for sale in Las Vegas.
It is one of my favorites. So the actual guy's house.
Yeah, not Joe Pesci's. The guy's house.
Yeah, I'd rather have Joe Pesci's.
I would imagine that some crazy stuff happened in that. Actually, probably not. I would say that Tony the Ant Spilotro was smart enough not to do any really crazy stuff in his own house. I would say nothing actually happened in that house. I'd say it's actually probably pretty boring there.
So the house is in Vegas. And it's for sale.
Yeah.
How much can you purchase it for?
Not much. I mean, not that bad. $419,000. I mean, so a little bit. But, I mean, I feel like in this market, it's probably an average price, a decent price.
And that's the guy Pesci portrayed as Nicky?
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine if that's close to the portrayal, murders were probably committed in that house.
He didn't kill anybody in his own house.
I don't know.
That's not how mobsters move.
You ever seen Casino? Nicky killed anybody, anywhere, anytime. Didn't matter.
He didn't invite them to his house.
Well, no. You really don't see any scenes of Nicky's house, from what I remember.
No, I don't think you see any. He's always either at the bar or, I guess, at his restaurant.
I don't know, though. A guy like that, I would think a murder or two had to have been accidentally, you know.
You do see his home a little bit when his wife is on the phone. His wife making calls. His wife's on the phone sometimes.
And he's sitting at the table.
Yeah.
And he's
eating breakfast with his boy.
Yep.
Yeah.
He says, you don't want too much butter. It's bad for your heart. That's what he tells his boy at the table.
Okay. That's for sale.
And then I believe him and Sharon Stone are sitting on the couch. Is that at his house?
I thought that was at the restaurant, but I might be wrong. I thought that was in the
back. Well, when they're sitting
upstairs at the restaurant.
It's at that trailer. That's where it's at. Because then they come out and get the photographs of him.
He knew he couldn't do anything illegal at his own house. There you go.
Hmm.
Couldn't even have sex with Sharon Stone at his own house. I mean, obviously, you know, a little bit different with the wife at home. But still, daddy was killing people in front of the wife either. It's probably not even haunted at all.
She was so good in that movie. I mean,
it doesn't look that great inside the house, to be honest.
As good as De Niro and Pesci are, I mean, she was right there, top level, as good as they were. You know, I almost feel like she kind of made the movie in a way.
Sharon Stone,
her
fantastic.
Craziness.
Yeah. You will get any more stories?
Passenger who jumped 11 stories off cruise ship hopes he...
Right. Saw this. What happened to him? Did they get him? I feel like if you jump off the boat, they shouldn't stop. I mean, obviously, I guess they didn't know if he jumped off the boat. I saw this video. This guy, they're in the ocean on a cruise.
Right.
And he just jumps off, jumps down.
Yes, 11 stories.
And I was hoping that they just left him in there.
Well, he was banned from the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line after he jumped into the ocean from his 11th floor balcony. He says he hopes his actions do not inspire others.
No, I don't think they will. Now, I hope the do they punish him at all, or do they just pick him up and everything was okay?
He plummeted 100 feet into shark-infested waters. Amazingly, he was not seriously injured, but said he could barely walk for 3 days afterwards. I guess you would be pretty
that's
sore.
The oddest thing is that he lived.
Why did he jump off?
I would assume he was drunk and got gassed up by his friends. If I'm.
Oh wow! Yeah, I just saw him jump again.
I mean, 100 feet is pretty dangerous, especially in the ocean. That's the last place I'd want to jump 100 feet in. Deep out there, man. Could be anything out there. You could jump right into a school of jellyfish. Then what happens? You're dead. You're done for. What if you jump right into a shark's mouth?
Him and his friends.
Because you know they don't sit still. They got to keep swimming around. There's a good chance that you'll just swim right into them.
The main damage was just financial. Him and his friends were kicked off the cruise in the Bahamas, and he had to pay $200 for a plane ticket home from Nassau.
That's it?
That's it.
That's not much at all. It's probably worth the story, to be honest.
And you get to chill out in Nassau, which I've been there. It's a lawless hellhole.
I mean, I assume he jumped off. Well, maybe, I guess when they kicked him off, I guess he probably got to get his stuff. They should have just left him in the water.
Royal Caribbean is exploring legal action.
Yeah, they should try to do something bad to him to keep other people from doing it. It's Optionals up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio. We are number one in the entire country.